Trend number three, the end of religion. Every so often, a set of experts proclaims that religion is dying. The latest proclamation appears in a new study from the American Physical Society. Its findings suggest that religion may become extinct within a matter of decades in 9 countries: Australia, Austria, the Czech Republic, Canada, Finland, Ireland, New Zealand, the Netherlands, and Switzerland. This conclusion is based on the fact that people in these modern secular democracies increasingly identify themselves as not affiliated with a religion. In the Netherlands, that figure has risen to 40%, and in the Czech Republic, it's 60%. The United States is not one of the countries identified as losing religion, since only 15% of Americans claim to be not affiliated with a religion. But even in the United States, the non-affiliated percentage is growing. So is the American Physical Society correct, or are these forecasts merely wishful thinking on the part of some secular humanists with too much time on their hands? The answer is much closer to the latter, not because the data are wrong, but because the research has been misinterpreted and is incomplete. In fact, a closer examination of all the available facts shows that committed religious populations in the West are actually growing, while it is actually secularism that's on the decline. The first problem with the current forecasts is that the researchers in the American Physical Society study misinterpreted the culturally driven meanings that respondents attached to labels. Traditionally, people who were ethnic Scots have regarded themselves as Protestants. Ethnic Italians have considered themselves to be Catholics, and ethnic Jews have answered that they were Jews when asked about religion. But in today's multicultural anything-goes world, an increasingly large number of those same people feel perfectly comfortable saying that they are non-religious. In other words, they have not changed their practices, they have simply changed their labels. So where some see religion dying, it is in fact still very much alive, just going under a different name. Meanwhile, other studies show that religious people have actually become more loyal to their religions over time. One example is a study published in the August 2010 Journal of the Scientific Study of Religion. In it, University of Nebraska Lincoln sociologist Philip Schwadel reports that Gen Xers are far more likely to adhere to their religion than their baby boomer parents did. This finding indicated to him that the formerly rising non-religious tide in the United States may be leveling off. This is consistent with a 2006 study by the Barna Group, showing that born-again Christians constituted 45% of the adult population, up from 36% in 1991 and just 31% in 1983. Born-again Christians are those who have made a definite personal commitment to Christ and who believe they will go to heaven after they die because they have confessed their sins and accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Meanwhile, notional Christians, people who describe themselves as Christian but do not meet the born-again criteria, declined from 46% of the adult population in 1991 to just 36% in 2006. What these and other studies reveal is that far from dying, religion is very much alive and well. When researchers put religion on death watch, they are quite often misdiagnosing religious non-affiliation as non-religion. The big problem with the APS study and others like it is not that they overestimate the degree to which formerly religious people are becoming secular. It's that these researchers ignore the far more powerful trends that are actually driving the proportion of religious followers up on a global basis, as well as the forces rapidly undermining the multicultural impact of liberal secularism. Consider the facts. In his book, Shall the Religious Inherit the Earth?, researcher Eric Kaufman examines these realities. As he says in the introduction, simply put, this book argues that religious fundamentalists are on course to take over the world through demography. By that, he means through population growth, and his study includes fundamentalists from all major religions, not just Christians and Muslims. Kaufman explains that much of Europe, North America, and the Middle East will eventually become dominated by those he calls fundamentalists, simply because in the Western world, the fertility rate of religious conservatives is significantly higher than that of non-believers. For example, the fertility rate for secularists in both the United States and Canada is currently 1.65, well below the replacement rate of 2.1. Fundamentalists, meanwhile, are having considerably more children per family, in some cases more than 10. As any Darwinist recognizes, the ultimate test of any trait, including religious belief or non-belief, is whether it enhances reproduction and ensures the propagation of an organism's genetic information. By that most fundamental of all measures, religion wins, hands down. Kaufman, who is himself a secularist, also admits that religious fundamentalism provides an overarching purpose and meaning to which people can relate, and it reduces the anxiety associated with uncertainty. Kaufman is far from alone in recognizing the tangible benefits religion provides. That is, there are indeed totally rational and objective reasons why people choose to participate in a religion beyond simply wanting to belong, which non-believers often seem to think is the primary factor. Consider just a few examples drawn from recent scientific research. In a paper titled The Origin and Evolution of Religious Prosociality, which appeared in the journal Science, the authors discovered that a belief in God encourages people to be helpful, honest, and generous. Furthermore, they concluded that among people in religious societies, there is more cooperation, a greater sense of trust, and reduced levels of cheating and selfish behavior. All things being equal, these societal benefits ultimately accrue to the individual because of their impact on the quality of life and standard of living. In a similar study published in the journal Psychological Science, researchers discovered that thinking about God and notions of a higher power measurably influenced people to cooperate with others and to be generous to strangers. And a report in the Archives of Internal Medicine revealed that more than half of physicians believe that a patient's health is significantly influenced by religion and spirituality. These benefits and many more help explain the continuing devotion to religion and reveal why it does not appear to be waning. Of course, for many, if not most adherents to a religion, it's a relationship with God and the promise of an afterlife that keeps them involved and committed, and that's precisely what secularism seeks to deny. Considering this trend, we provide the following three forecasts. First, militant atheism will undermine secularism by energizing a religious backlash in the coming decade and beyond. With believers still making up 93% of the U.S. population, attempts to remove Judeo-Christian norms from the public square are simply creating an emotional rationale for a movement aimed at reversing secular gains of the previous century. As the white former rulers of Zimbabwe found, a tiny minority can ill afford to persistently antagonize the majority, even if it isn't well organized. Second, religious fundamentalists will largely control the global culture by mid-century. Fundamentalist Christianity is making big strides in Latin America, Africa, and parts of Asia, as well as in the United States. In India, populations of fundamentalist Hindus and Muslims are growing much faster than the secular population. Meanwhile, Islamic fundamentalists are displacing both Christians and secularists elsewhere. In fact, unless immigration policies are changed quickly, many experts believe that Muslims will be in the majority in the EU and the former Soviet Union by around mid-century. And third, Gen Xers and millennials with religious backgrounds will be less likely than their parents to convert to secularism. As children of baby boomers who left the religion of their youth in droves, fewer members of these younger generations have had an affiliation with religion when young. But those who have will be considerably less likely to stray, at least in the case of Christianity. A key reason is the multitude of styles of churches that are now available. For baby boomers, to a large degree, there was one style, love it or leave it. Many left it. Now people can choose the style of service they like, the contemporary, blended, traditional, coffee bar, and so on. People are quite likely to find a home somewhere, which keeps them from leaving altogether.